Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, a big showing at Nationals this past week for a couple of A-State track and field athletes. Baseball with a winning weekend, their final non-conference series before league play begins this week. Spring football practice also upon us, but we'll start with basketball because it was a big week in Pensacola at the Sun Belt Conference tournament. And it started with the women's game. Wednesday night, they took on a Ragin' Cajun team that had defeated them both times during the regular season. We sat here last week and kind of looked back on that game at home and thought that was one that we should have had. But, you know, the big question going in was the status of Izzy Higginbottom. She had missed the previous three games due to that broken finger, broken middle finger on her shooting hand. And, you know, we didn't know if she was going to be able to play or not. Turns out she did not go. Unfortunately, this was a night where the offense just never got going.
Well, I'll actually give credit where credit's due. And instead of really saying it's a night where the offense didn't get going, there are some ways in which playing Lafayette was, in some ways, it was a good draw because of the pace they want to play, but overall is a bad draw because they really guard you. And so you knew without Izzy, that automatically makes points harder to come by, and they're hard enough to come by against those guys anyway. So there were like pluses and minuses, but I would think more cons than pros to the Cajuns being the draw just because of the way they guarded. Because we talked about it a lot, and not to beat a dead horse, without Izzy, our leading scorer's out. Well, that's 22, 23 a game, whatever. You got to factor in four or five assists, too. Most places, I don't know what teams get to late February or March and just have 30 points laying around.
Yeah, that's tough to find.
because it's not just the scoring. So I knew they were going to take one more look at that hand literally the day they flew down there. I did not know what the result of that was. For me, when our staff was down there and they posted photos on social media from the women's practice on Tuesday, and I zoomed in the background of a couple of the pictures and saw Izzy standing in her street clothes, I said, well,
there's
that
your answer.
That question.
Anna Griffin did perform well in that game against the Cajuns. She led the way with 15 points and 7 rebounds, but Red Wolves fall short 54-41. They finished the season with a record of 13-17. And the very next morning, I saw a picture of the coaching staff. They were right back on the road recruiting.
I hate it for them. I hate it for that team. Again, you know, we talked about it last week. You know, this is the fifth year Destiny Rogers has been at Arkansas State. And it's the third time in the last 4 years that they did not finish the season with their leading scorer. That they've lost them to a season-ending injury at some point, and that's a tough trend, and one that I know they would love to get reversed. And actually, you know, because we saw what happened the one time, you know, when they actually were healthy going to the conference tournament, they went down there and made some noise last year. But it's the only time in the last 4 years they've been in that situation, which is, I mean, just can't do anything about it. It's a tough break.
Let's get to the men. They earned the double bye in the Sun Belt Conference tournament. It was crucial for them to get that extra time to rest, especially for guys like Caleb Fields and Freddie Hicks, who, look, they've been battling injuries all season long. But to get that 8 days between games, I thought was huge. And they were ready for that quarterfinal matchup with the Cajuns on Saturday, a Cajun team that was the defending league champs, led by one of the best coaches in the history of the Sun Belt Conference in Bob Marlin. You knew they'd be ready. Yeah, the Cajuns had beat the Red Wolves both times during the regular season, too. And credit goes to our coaching staff for making some big-time adjustments from those first two meetings, our players for being ready to play. And they came out and just absolutely dominated this game on both ends of the floor, as complete of a performance as you could ever hope for. And they ended up winning 89-62 in a game in which they out-rebounded the Cajuns 43-26. But that 27-point margin of victory, the largest ever for an A-State team in any conference tournament game. It was just impressive all around.
It was. Was talking with some folks internally going in. I said, look, if this team, Arkansas State, wins this tournament and does it by having to beat Lafayette, App State, and James Madison, to me, maybe the three toughest matchups for us in the whole thing, and that's your path to winning, well, then you certainly would have earned it because, you know, I think
that's exactly what we said last week.
Yeah, because by Brian Hodson's account, we didn't just lose Lafayette twice. He really kind of physically kicked our butt twice. And those are his words. And
I thought in the first meeting they did. The second meeting,
well,
I heard him say
he thought the second meeting we got our butt kicked too. And it was a tough matchup. And to come out and just completely flip the script, to go from being the bug to being the windshield.
Yeah, I mean, the way our guys dominated on the glass, plus 17 on the boards. I mean, out-rebounded him 43-26 at a season high. 14 steals. Freddie Hicks was magnificent, as he was throughout the entire conference tournament. He had a then-season high, 23 points. Darian Ford and Terran Todd had 18 points apiece. And that earned the Red Wolves a spot in the semifinal game. So they go from taking on the defending conference tournament champs to the very next night facing the regular season champs from this season, an App State team that had defeated the Red Wolves by 23 in Boone just 9 days before, and they had gone into the game on an 8-game win streak. Again, the Red Wolves just looked completely prepared for this game. We're taking on a Mountaineer team that was leading the conference, one of the better rebounding teams in the entire nation. In fact, they led the nation in defensive rebounds going in, and you know, the Red Wolves out-rebound App in that game 36-27, and I thought their physicality on the glass kind of set the tone in that one.
Yeah, again, to go back to what we just talked about, it's funny, I kind of chuckled when you said it, because again, the path was to win the tournament, you were likely going to play the defending tournament champion, to get to the regular season champion, to get to the best team in the league.
The team with the nation's longest win streak.
Yeah, that App State game, it had to hurt to some level your competitive pride to know that on the last night of the regular season, you didn't really give it your best shot. But knowing that there was a bigger picture, knowing that limiting guys' minutes this Friday night helps our odds of winning next Sunday. That's exactly the way that thing shook out in a game that they'll talk about around here for a long, long time.
A thrilling game to call on my part. I had a blast watching it, calling that game, and seeing our guys just really tighten down defensively down the stretch. And I thought that was as impressive as anything because, look, App was going to make a run, and they did. And they came back from a double-digit deficit in the second half. They took the lead with about 4 minutes to go. And then our guys just locked in, held App without a point the final 2:33 of that game. And really, everybody looks at Freddie's shot, and we'll get to Freddie's shot here in just a moment. But App's last possession of that ball game, our guys played magnificent defense to get a stop. Once they got that stop, they got the ball in the front court. They called timeout with 14.6 seconds to go. Want to talk about this because during that timeout, it was kind of a defining moment for Freddie Hicks, for this team, and we heard about it after the game, and I first learned about it because the first person I interviewed in the postgame show was Isaiah Nelson. He said, yeah, Freddie asked for the ball during the timeout. And I said, oh, really? He told the coaches he wanted the ball. And then I talked to Jamie Corrals, who came up, A-State assistant coach, and he said the same thing, and he kind of went more in depth into it. And he said that Freddie went to all coaches and said, hey, I want the ball here. He pulled a Jimmy Chitwood.
It was Jimmy Chitwood, yeah.
You love that. You love that he wanted the ball in that scenario. And then Freddie confirmed it when I interviewed him right after that. And it's just so cool that somebody like that wants that moment, wants to have the basketball in that situation. And that's one of the things Brian Hodson mentioned when I talked to him later on. He said, yeah, nobody flinched at that. They were all on board. They wanted Freddie to have the ball.
And it's interesting because you just assume, like, right, if you don't know what's going on in that huddle, well, you're like, well, Caleb Fields is going to have the ball in his hands. because of the possession before that, right? When the game was still tied and we had it in the front court, the ball didn't go to Caleb Fields. And we turned the ball over. So you get in that situation again, you're like, okay, well, you'll go with Caleb and see what happens here. And then, you know, it doesn't. And to find out why that wasn't what happened was a really cool story. And then, you know, not only though Freddie Chitwood say, I'll make it, but he made it, and nobody got caught watching the paint dry.
Freddie Hicks dribbles with the right hand. Onto the wing, 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Freddie has to put it up. Shot goes! Freddie Hicks has won the game! A buzzer beater for Freddie! A-State has punched their ticket to the Sun Belt Conference Championship game for the first time since 2007.
Just an amazing moment. Now I'm going to give you the rest of the story on that final play. So before the game, the championship game on Monday night, I sat down to interview T. Butters. T. handles a lot of the offense. Mm-hmm. So we did our pregame interview, went through the scouting report for James Madison, and we're sitting there talking. And I said, so tell me, before Freddie came and said that, what were you going to run? He said, I was going to run the same exact thing. He was planning on doing that anyway. But not get too technical here, but when we turned it over on the other side of the floor, we were inbounding on the left side. So that's why Terran Todd was going to have the ball, because he's left-handed. He was going to a strong side. So we were going to run the same action on the left side of the floor with Terran on the possession before. So since we didn't run that, that was still out there. We hadn't shown it, and we were inbounding on the right side this time. So we got the ball to Freddie and did the same thing on that side of the floor. So that's kind of the rest of the story with that play. But they were going to go to Freddie regardless.
And by the way, again, sort of giving credit where it's due, App State guarded the heck out of that thing.
They did. They played great. They did everything right. Freddie just hit a really tough shot. And one thing about this podcast, we kind of give people a peek behind the curtain here. Well, during that call, I knew it was close. And even in the middle of my call, I hear them saying in the background, the play is under review. I felt confident enough that he got it off in time. But I'm also thinking big picture, that call is going to be played a lot. And I don't want to cut it off in the middle of it and say, oh, they're reviewing this. Wait, that's not going to stand the test of time. And it kind of takes away from the moment the fact that they're reviewing it. So during the review, I'm thinking, God, I hope that this thing is upheld after, you know, you go through the buzzer beater and the game-winning moment and all that. But I felt confident enough that it was going to be
it actually,
upheld.
In my opinion, it's one of the rare times, I'd say rare, it felt rare in that it actually wasn't as close in slow motion as I feared it was in real time to off in time.
Well, because he still had this back to the basket with less than 2 seconds to go.
Yeah, and so, obviously there's this reaction where I am, and I've posted the story about where I was, but, you know, there's this reaction, but there's also like, well, hang on a second. And then, you know, once they got around, rolled around, and kind of showed the replay one time, like I said, seeing the replay one time, it's like, well, heck, it wasn't as close as I thought it was, because in live speed, I was like, oh, geez, I hope that counts.
Yeah, me too. And it was a great moment in the history of our program, and I think something to really build on. Going into the game on Monday night, we knew, again, you just beat two straight nights, the defending champ, the regular season champ. Now all you got to do is knock off the team with the nation's best winning percentage, who was 30-3 and had a 12-game win streak.
The highest net rating in the league. I mean, on paper, I know App State won the conference, but on paper and the computers and the rankings, James Madison viewed as the best team in the conference. And
credit
they played
to them.
Like it.
They played it like it. They were incredible. You got to tip your cap to them. They played a fantastic game, and we didn't play our best.
I think the second part of that was impacted by the first. I mean, they came out when you have a really good team play really good. it just is going to make life hard on you. And then when they play really good, because they had a guy averaging 6 points, score 21 in the first half, and banking in threes and hitting 30-footers, I mean, you get a little shell-shocked.
And James Madison just never cooled off. They shot 63% for the game. The Red Wolves shot 36%. And, yeah, you mentioned Xavier Brown, the kid averaging 6 points a game. It wasn't just the fact that he was scoring a lot of points. It was how he was doing it. He had the confidence of Steph Curry or Caitlin Clark out there, the way he was pulling up from 30 feet away and just knocking down everything. He banked one in at one point, and you're thinking, oh, my God, can anything go wrong for this guy?
And so at some point, you know, well, if it doesn't, like right of eight, I mean, something doesn't change. I mean, if they're going to shoot like that, not to be negative, but if they're going to shoot like that, you can't win. And they just kind of kept shooting like that. And even when that kid started missing, then the usual suspects started hitting shots.
Thought our guys played hard to the end, though. I mean, we out-rebounded them just like we did the Cajuns and Appalachian State. Fought hard. Isaiah Nelson had a double-double. 12 points, 12 boards, 4 blocks. Freddie eclipsed his previous season high that was set 2 nights before. He had 24 points. Freddie Hicks and Caleb Fields, both named to the all-conference tournament team. Well-deserved on both accounts. But it was so neat to be there in Pensacola and to see our fan base as energized as they were. And we had a lot of fans down there already for the first 2 games. But there were so many more folks that came in for the championship game on Monday night. And just really, really cool to see all the scarlet and black in the stands. And I know Coach Jones made the trip down to Pensacola on Monday night. He was there, and it was just it was neat to see our fan base fired up again.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I'm to each their own. I think there's a certain risk to go into a tournament final when you haven't been there to the rest of the tournament. But I knew we were going to have a lot of people do it. I'm glad they did, but there's not a chance I was willing to take.
Okay.
I was not going to mess with the mojo.
So are we blaming the ones that showed up on Monday?
No. I'm blaming James Madison.
I think I'm going to blame them too.
But I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious. So like, you know, I put my family, not me necessarily, but my family watched all 3 games at the same place. Now I had to watch Saturday's game in the baseball press box, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But where they watched it Saturday, we went back Sunday, we went back Monday. And so, I mean, just try to keep things as consistent as possible when they're going well.
All right, speaking of that, one quick story here. So this took me back to the days when Keith Kessinger was here as the head baseball coach. And we would do our pregame interviews. You know, we'd sit down, whether it be in the bleachers somewhere or in the dugout one day. And if we won the game that day, the next day, we would come back and sit in the exact same spot. He was superstitious. I didn't know Brian Hodson was going to be that superstitious too, but I loved it. So because of where he was sitting, watching the games before ours in the first 2 days of the tournament, you know, that was an issue because there were games before our guys were able to go out and take the floor. So he was sitting in kind of a section right behind one of the baskets in the third row. I'd come up into the second row and kind of just lean over the table, and we'd have to do the interview that way. We did that the first 2 days. Well, we could have done the interview anywhere before the championship game on Monday night. And he says, hey, let's go to our spot. So we walked all the way across the floor to that same side. He sat in the same seat, and I went over and stood in the second row and reached over the table again, and we did the pregame interview right there.
Crash Davis says you never bleep with a win streak.
That's right.
And that's what I believed as well.
Season may not be over yet, though. Stay tuned.
Yeah, I would say that's a fair statement.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to KavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Brian Hodson, and I'm asking you to help our A-State student-athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our student-athletes by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Wolves up.
Back on the Second to None podcast presented by the Kavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Hey, what a week for the indoor track and field program. A couple of A-State athletes competing at the NCAA Indoor Championships in Boston. Bradley Gelmert, who won every single meet that he competed in during the indoor season, including the conference championship, went to nationals and took silver.
Yeah.
In the men's pole vault, he cleared 5.65 meters. It was the first men's podium finisher at the indoor championships since 2017, and the first A-State men's pole vaulter with a podium finish at indoors since 1987.
There's just, you know, you go back over the history and Hartwick and Bell and on down the line and Foreman, this, you know, on the women's side, but just a lot. But just, it feels right for Arkansas State to have somebody competing for national championships in the pole vault. And by the way, he's a junior who got edged out by a senior. And by the way, he's got the outdoor season. So
yeah,
I think he's got some more winning to do.
Our friend Colby Eddowes, who was in on this very podcast just a couple of weeks ago, breaks his own school and conference records at the national meet, ends up finishing seventh in the heptathlon at nationals, earning first team All-American. I was really excited to see this when the top 25 came out following the indoor championships. The Red Wolves finished the season ranked 24th in the country, their first top 25 finish at indoors since 2014.
Colby, and I need to go back and look and see where this ended up, but at the end of the first day, when he, whatever place he was in, fifth, sixth, seventh, somewhere in there, he was the only underclassman, freshman or sophomore, in the top 13. Everybody else was mostly seniors and some juniors, so he was kind of the youngest person in the mix there to win the whole thing and fared very well and is an All-American. And yeah, those guys gave us a top 25 finish in the country. You know, which has been the stated goal to consistently do stuff like that from Coach Patchell's, to not just send the one off here and there to nationals and just go to nationals and have fun competing, but to score team points enough to do something like that.
Congratulations. Just another big time accomplishment for this track and field program. Coach Patchell just doing a phenomenal job, and can't wait to see what they do coming up in the outdoor season, which begins very soon.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T Club.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by the Kavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Kavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at KavanaughCars.com. Baseball team, after losing in the midweek at Murray State last week, came back, took 2 out of 3 against Eastern Illinois this past weekend. It was interesting how it all played out. Because of the weather, they were forced to play 2 on Saturday, won it going away in the opener, 20-3.
Well, how about this? Eastern Illinois scored first and last in that game. A run in the top of the first to make it 1-0, and hit a two-run homer in the top of the seventh to set the final score, and A-State outscored them 20-0 in the middle.
Yeah, it's tough to bounce back from a 20-0 run.
But they did. And in terms of the second game, and that's what's really interesting about baseball, because honestly, you get three innings into that first game, you're literally playing out the string, right? Yeah. I mean, like, we already know, we've already heard in the press box, the run rule's in effect. I mean, it's just like, we're playing these innings, honestly, because we have to, because we scored four in the first, five in the second, six in the third.
It's over.
Dylan DeBeauty had seven RBIs in that game, one off a school record, hit two home runs, hit a grand slam. I mean, it's really kind of garbage time. And then you got to clear the field for 30 minutes, and the same two teams try and play again, a completely different sort of ball game.
Yeah, dropped that second game of the doubleheader Saturday, 6-3.
We scored a single run three times. They scored a single run once, but had a five-run inning. So essentially, with the exception of one half inning, it was a pitcher's duel after you just won 20-3.
So the series was even going into Sunday. And look, it wasn't looking good on Sunday. Red Wolves trailed 7-2 going to the bottom of the seventh, but got to love the way the guys rallied. They scored four times in the seventh, twice in the eighth. They come back and win it 8-7. With the win, they take two out of three in the series. They improve to 11-5 on the year.
And in three now of those 11 wins, they've trailed by at least four runs and then come back to win the game.
Hey, if there's a rivalry week during the course of the season, this is it.
Yeah.
As we record this, this is same day that the Red Wolves are playing at Little Rock on Tuesday, but at Memphis on Wednesday. So Little Rock and Memphis, back-to-back days. And then you open up conference play coming up this weekend as the Cajuns come to town, and we'll be here Friday at 6, Saturday at 3, and Sunday at 1. Would love to see some big crowds at the Tom for that series. But
Hey, so I'll just say this. We're recording this on Tuesday, and I don't want to say too much and paint myself in a corner I can't get out of, so I'll just leave it at this. Depending on when you're listening to this, if you haven't already seen it, if you haven't already seen it, be on the lookout. I believe there's going to be a desired promo item Sunday.
Okay.
One that folks are going to want, and there's not going to be a ton of them.
All so right. Keep your eyes open for you that. You got me curious. Why not come out and watch some Sunday afternoon baseball?
The crowds have been nice, and the weather's been, you know, good for the most part. Now, listen, they decided pretty early in the week to make that the Saturday game a doubleheader, and then it didn't rain Friday night when you would have been playing, and you're like, well, geez, did they make the right call? When you got there in the top of the first Saturday, you said, oh, yeah, they made the right call.
Yeah.
Because outfielders are dancing around. Any ball that got to the outfield grass got thrown out of play.
Mm.
You could see that it'd have been tough for them to have been out there Friday night playing on that field.
Quickly, before we get out of here, get to some other sports real quick. The bowling team competing at the Music City Classic. That's coming up this weekend in Smyrna, Tennessee. That's hosted by Vanderbilt. That bowling team really playing well of late.
Up to number two in the country.
Men's golf will be in Humble, Texas.
You say Humble or Humble?
Humble.
Yeah. Humble, yeah.
Humble, yeah.
Okay, I thought that's how you folks said that.
At the All-American Collegiate, that's hosted by Houston. The women's golf team will be in Tucson at the Mountain View Collegiate. I think Kansas State is the host school of that tournament.
Well, I thought it was Mountain View High School, maybe. I mean, that makes pretty as sure. much sense as some of the rest of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, heck, we just hosted a tournament in Las Vegas. And the tennis team, they opened Sunbelt play this past weekend, dropping their match at South Alabama. They'll be on the road again this weekend. They'll take on ULM Saturday at 10 a.m. And then that same day, that afternoon, they'll take on Jackson State in Monroe.
I need to go back and look at Tucson and see if they're playing the course at the resort we stayed at in the Arizona Bowl. I need to look that over because I played that course.
Oh, you did? That's right. I remember. It was cold that day, right?
And it was cold, and I was so bad, but just couldn't pass it up.
The other thing we want to mention before we get out of here, spring football opening up this week. In fact, Coach Jones had a press conference on Tuesday, kind of opening up spring football practice period. But there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up, and I know he's extremely excited about getting practice going. And in April, we got some big events coming up with Pack Day on April 20th and the spring game that day. And I know we're trying to make that into just a full weekend where people plan to come in. And it was a great event last year, and hopefully we can build on that this year. And I know you're certainly a big part of that, trying to make that a big-time event.
Working at it all the time, and I think there'll be some stuff going on that day that people like, you know, in and around the stadium. Outside of just the stuff we do attached to the game, you already have that. The stuff you know, here's the things I already tell you that's happening. Track and field has a home meet.
Mm-hmm.
Tennis has its last home match on campus that day. The spring game's at 1:15 and baseball's at 4. And that's on top of whatever else we do around it. That's the stuff I just told you, you know, is already happening.
But that's exciting.
Yep.
With everything coming up. Again, that's April 20th, pack day and spring game. And then I know the Impact Club is having a big fundraiser, a golf tournament that's coming up April 26th that Coach Jones actually mentioned in his press conference this week as well. So a lot of good stuff going on. And again, stay tuned. You mentioned the promotions coming up this weekend for A-State baseball, and who knows what's going to happen with men's basketball coming up very soon.
I just think this, you won't have to wait long, because whatever will happen will start happening fast.
I want to see this team keep playing. They're fun to watch. And wouldn't it be neat to get to 20 wins in Coach Hodson's first season? They're currently sitting at 18 right now, so maybe
and won enough games. That's, you know, not that they're worried about this. They were not and should not have been, but they did win enough games in the Sun Belt tournament to guarantee themselves a winning season no matter what.
Looking forward to seeing everybody out at baseball this weekend. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.